Good morning and welcome. We've sprung into week two. This is the Florida League of Cities legislative call-in. For those that are new to the call-in, we start the call with each of the lobbyists going around the horn discussing the key bills they're watching and working on this week and where we need your help on the advocacy front. Once the lobbyists have shared their updates, we'll open the call for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, you will do so at that point in time by pressing star 9 on your phone. As a reminder, this call is being recorded. We'll send out not only a link to the call so you can listen back, but also a summary of all the issues that we cover that should come out later this afternoon. Please note it's not possible to cover every single bill that's filed or that the league is watching, as there are over 1,800 bills that have been filed. We are currently watching and working on close to 500 bills. But for a comprehensive list of those bills, I'd encourage you to go to our website, flcities.com. When you get there, hover your mouse over the advocacy tab. About halfway down is a bill summaries button that you can click on, and you can see the entire universe of what we're watching and working on. With that as the intro, we are in week two. This first month is always fast and furious. There are packed agendas. Everything is alive. Everything has the potential to move. And right now we are doing the legwork, trying to meet with members to find out what the real threats are and what the also-rans are as well. So our team is actively working at the Capitol to make a difference on some of these issues. As I referenced earlier, we have packed agendas and there are lots of bills impacting cities that are up this week. So it's important to stay tuned, stay close to your phones, stay close to your emails. We have sent out an alert already on one bill you'll hear about shortly. But on the House side, we're on a 48-hour agenda deadline. So what that means, practically speaking, is we won't know Wednesday's agenda until today at 5 o'clock. So you'll have about 24 hours to respond between when a bill is put on an agenda and when it's actually heard by the committee. So it's important that you keep your devices close and respond when we send action alerts out. With that as the intro, I'm going to kick it over to David Cruz, who's our first speaker.
Thank you, Casey, and good morning, everybody. Casey mentioned I got an important issue to talk to you all about this morning, dealing with community redevelopment agencies or CRAs. If your city has a CRA, you would have received a legislative alert on that issue on Friday. The bill is Senate Bill 1242, sponsored by Senator McClain. The League of Cities is opposed to the bill. The bill is pretty simple, and it does three things. Number one, it terminates all CRAs in the state of Florida by the year 2045. Number two, starting in October 1st of this year, your CRA can no longer have any new projects. Number three, there will be no new CRAs allowed to be created in the state after July 1st of this year. And as you can imagine, this would be essentially the death knell of CRAs in the state of Florida. We realize that CRAs are an incredibly important tool for our cities. Number one, they are locally funded. They do not raise taxes. They do not use state funds. And they address a whole host of issues that are incredibly important to your cities, from assisting small businesses to assisting with affordable housing. They are an essential tool. And so the message to legislators on the Community Affairs Committee is that we oppose the bill, that CRAs are an incredibly valuable tool to help small businesses and to help with affordable housing. We've heard a lot of discussion, especially in this committee, about affordable housing. Former Senate President Senator Pasademo sits on this committee. We know affordable housing is important to her, so I would certainly highlight how your CRA is working on affordable housing projects when you speak to the members of the Community Affairs Committee. And so with that said, the House bill is House Bill 991 by Representative Gia Lombardo. It is pretty concerning that that bill on the House side only received two committee references. The first reference is the State Affairs Committee. They meet on Thursday of this week. So that means, like AC mentioned, we will not know what's on that committee's agenda until 5 o'clock tomorrow. But I would not be surprised if that bill is up on Thursday of this week. So I would suggest that it is not too early to start reaching out to your House members on the State Affairs Committee and educating them on the value of your city CRA and how we are opposed to House Bill 991 by Representative Gia Lombardo. With that said, I did want to mention one bill that we are in support of that is going to be heard in the Senate Community Affairs Committee on Tuesday, and that's Senate Bill 582 by Senator Leaf. It deals with the unlawful demolition of historical buildings and structures. Essentially, this bill seeks to increase the fines for tearing down a historical building that's registered in the Registry of Historical Buildings. And so we have run into the scenario where some developers are purchasing historical buildings, and they know that they will be fined if they tear down that building, but that fine is so small that they just incorporate that into the cost of doing business and tear down the building anyways. This would seek to increase those fines, and so we are in support of this bill, and that's Senate Bill 582. With that said, I'll turn it over to Charles.
Oh, good Monday morning, everybody, from finance and tax area. Just have one alert for you, and that is to be ever watchful. I definitely want to echo what Casey said earlier. We are looking with eagle sharp eyes on the Ways and Means Committee that is scheduled this Thursday at 8 a.m. in the morning in the House of Representatives. The reason why we look for Ways and Means is all of the property tax bills that are most concerning to us and the members go through Ways and Means first. We will not know the agenda for this Thursday at 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. Tuesday afternoon. So that gives us a very short window to be able to tell our story on the specific bills that may be heard this coming Thursday. In the meantime, we will ask you to please keep reaching out to your legislators, telling the story and the facts about how property taxes are used in your community, especially for police and fire services. We are also using statewide municipal numbers for ad valorem revenues as we compare to statewide public safety expenditures. And the big message there is that if you compare those two, you're seeing over a $1.6 billion shortfall annually for the last 5 years, going from 2019 to 2023. Reason for those years is those are audited numbers, so they've been checked and cross-checked. But again, the talking point is that ad valorem being collected by municipalities statewide does not even cover the expenses for police and fire. That message is resonating with legislators. Again, we will have a very short turnaround if there's any concerning bills on the Ways and Means Committee agenda at 8 a.m. on Thursday morning, but we will know more after 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So again, stick close to your devices and look out for alerts from us. With that, I will kick it over to Matt Singer.
Thank you, Charles, and good morning, everyone. I've got two bills to report on for you. The first is up in Community Affairs in the Senate tomorrow at 4 p.m., and it's Senate Bill 180 by Senator DeSigley on emergency preparedness and response. This is a comprehensive bill addressing emergency management at the local level, and there's two main provisions from this bill that we're opposing. The first is rather straightforward and places a freeze on increasing inspections and permit fees after a storm for 180 days. The second provision that we're opposing would prevent local governments from placing a moratorium that is more restrictive or burdensome on any land development or permit processing regulations after a storm. And like I said, this would extend it for 2 years, but it also has a provision to make it retroactive back to August of last year. And so we're opposing both of those provisions and trying to work with the bill sponsor to make sure that this legislation helps us at the local level and doesn't place any more obstacles. The second bill I want to put on your radar is also up tomorrow at 4 p.m. in the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee. And this is Senate Bill 810 by Senator Burgess on stormwater management systems. This bill, while well-intended, would place a large mandate on municipalities to inspect all known works of their stormwater management system every year and report it to the Division of Emergency Management. The senator was frustrated after the last storm season with poorly functioning canals and culverts, but the bill fails to define the system further than known works. And so this bill is pretty broad, and we're opposing it at this time, but have the hope to work with the sponsor on this. And with that, I'll pass it to Rebecca.
Thank you, Matt. Good morning, everybody. The bills I'm going to talk to you about today are all up in committee on Tuesday. And I'm going to start with two bills relating to accessory dwelling units, Senate Bill 184 by Senator Gates and House Bill 247 by Representative Connerly. The bills are slightly different. Senate Bill 184, which is up in the Senate Transportation, Economic Development Appropriations Subcommittee in the Senate at 8:30 on Tuesday. This bill would require local governments to adopt an ordinance to allow accessory dwelling units by right in any in any district zoned for single family. It also would require the ordinance to impose no minimum parking requirements on the ADU, and it would also prevent the local government from requiring owner occupancy of either their primary residence or the ADU. The House version is a little bit different. This is House Bill 247. It's going to be heard in the Housing, Agriculture, and Tourism Subcommittee at 1 o'clock on Tuesday in the House. This bill also would require cities and counties to, by ordinance, allow accessory dwelling units by right in any single-family zoned area, and would prohibit the ordinance from imposing minimum parking requirements on the ADU. Also being considered in the House Housing, Agriculture, and Tourism Committee at 1 o'clock on Tuesday is House Bill 579 by Representative Overdorf relating to development permits and development orders. House Bill 579 would impose penalties, basically in the form of a percentage of a refund of the application fee, if a local government fails to meet the existing statutory deadlines for reviewing and approving an application for development permit or development order. This bill also provides that a local government could not limit the number of meetings it has each month if the effect of doing so would be to delay final action on an application for a development order or a development permit. The last bill I want to mention this morning is Senate Bill 1128 by Senator Ingolia relating to building permits for single-family dwellings. This bill is being considered in the Senate Community Affairs Committee at 4 o'clock on Tuesday. This bill provides that a built building permit does not expire until the next update of the Florida Building Code becomes effective, so potentially could extend building permits for up to 3 years. The second thing it does is that for any jurisdiction that has been subject to a emergency disaster declaration in the previous 24 months, any building permit that was applied for during that period would be deemed approved, automatically approved, and the building permit must be issued within 2 days. That's all I have for you. I'm going to turn it over to Sam Wagner. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. Good morning, everyone. So I have a couple of bills for you this week, Senate Bill 110 and House Bill 1427. These are the rural communities bills. Sponsors are Senator Simon and Representative Griffiths. We're currently monitoring the bill. The bill is a central priority of the Senate President. Senate Bill 110 modernizes support for fiscally constrained counties by updating definitions and increasing the fiscally constrained county threshold from $5 million to $10 million generated per mill in property tax revenue. It boosts the FCC funding to at least $50 million annually and establishes new spending requirements for public safety, infrastructure, and other public purposes. There's approximately $119 million in funds allocated to various grants aimed at revitalizing rural communities. The central argument is that new funds, the $50 million coming into the fiscally constrained counties, will help start a rural renaissance. Our argument is that any city within a fiscally constrained county should get direct funding under the bill. This Thursday in the Senate Fiscal Policy Committee, we anticipate that the Senate bill will likely be up, and that'll be its final stop before it heads to the floor. The second bill, set of bills that I have tagged for you are House Bill 1211 and Senate Bill 1554, titled Public Safety, by Representative Abbott and Senator Collins, respectively. We're opposed to these bills flat out. The bill is a comprehensive reform of public safety in Florida. It requires the consolidation of all 911 call centers into the sheriff's office, or if the sheriff opts out, into the county by July of 2029. Requires the vehicles closest to an incident to respond, creates a task force that will study the complete consolidation of all law enforcement in Florida under the Department of Law Enforcement. There are four committee stops for this bill in the House, and there's three in the Senate. We anticipate that the bill will receive at least one hearing this year. And we understand that this is an issue that we'll be looking at probably going into the summer. So we wanted to ensure that it was placed on your radar. That's what I have for you this week. At this time, I'll pass it back over to Casey.
Thank you, Sam. We will now transition into the question and answer portion of the call. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you'll press *9 on your phone. And when you're recognized, please start with your name and the city you're affiliated with. We've been asking a lot for data, for feedback from you on a lot of these bills. Some of these ideas are new. We've never seen them before. We know they're bad. But in order to have the strongest argument possible, we need feedback and data from each of your communities. And so in addition to communicating that to legislators, we need you to send it to us as well. And so as you hear about these bills, as you see, you know, go onto the House or the Senate's website, and you read them and encourage your staff to read them, please make sure that any sort of analysis that you do flows back to us so that we can take in with us the strongest arguments possible on these bills we're working on. So, first question, fire away.
Hey, Casey, it's Robert Stewart from the city of Orlando.
Good morning, Commissioner.
How are you doing? Quick question is, I know we've sent a bunch of information in about property tax. Have we got any reports back on that that we could use, where we can compare our city to kind of the statewide information? In other words, when you're sharing information, can we see what you're sharing so that we can complement it?
Yes, sir. We are currently building out a spreadsheet, you know, with city by city information as we receive it. And I think that's a great pitch for those folks that haven't submitted it. Please send it in so that we can add your information to the spreadsheet if you have police, fire, or EMS, or any combination thereof. Commissioner Stewart, we will absolutely share that information once it's all packaged together, because I think it makes a compelling point, not just for the city of Orlando, but with each and every representative, you know, in the House and Senate. And so I think that's a great idea. We absolutely will do that.
Okay, my second question, thank you very much. My second question is on the CRA. What kind of traction is the CRA thing really having? They've already sunsetted CRAs in 2043 or 2044 anyway. What is the traction, and what's the motive behind it all?
Sure. One, we're still trying to figure that out. Early reports are that one or two cities in a particular legislator's district have been spending CRA funds on something that the legislator views as objectionable. And this bill was filed to make a statement, but apparently there is enthusiasm for this idea in the House, resulting in only two committee references. You know, we have our work cut out for us on this one, because there are many legislators that don't like that the funds essentially flow back into that area for an extended period of time, and they think they would be better suited going to other parts of the community. I think our perspective on this is that, you know, if you believe in the free market, the private sector should fill the void. Incentives drive free market behavior if the free market hasn't come in and actually made the investment in that particular area. And so government creates incentives to drive investment in that area. Investors love CRAs because they're guaranteed that increases in property taxes flow back into that district, which only makes their property and their business more valuable. Eliminating CRA, I think, potentially devalues any investments that investors have made due to uncertainty, you know, that those additional funds will flow back into that area. And, you know, I think one of the final messages for any of the members that we meet with is that if you think back to 2016 or 17, there was a big conversation about opportunity zones. Opportunity zones were another incentive to drive investment into blighted areas. And so if you supported opportunity zones in 2016 or 2017, you should by default support CRAs as well, because they're an important redevelopment tool. You know, so that's what we've heard so far. Hopefully we can get them to just looking at how CRA monies are spent or reinvested back into an area. But for now, it's a very real threat that would have the effect of eliminating CRAs in the future. Great question. Brenda, let's go to the next one.
Hi, Casey. This is Olivia Minshew with the City of Wauchula. Just curious, with Senate Bill 110 and House Bill 1427, the Rural Communities Bill, the restructuring of the funding that's going to a fiscally constrained county, will that have a negative impact on the state shared revenues that not only the cities in those counties currently get, but maybe even statewide by shifting those sales tax dollars instead of communication service tax dollars?
Olivia, that's a great question. My preliminary answer is no, because I think they're adding or supplementing funds. They're adding new money into the equation for fiscally constrained counties. I'd love to talk with you more offline about that to see if maybe we've missed something in our analysis of the bill. But that's the kind of thing that we can take into, the Speaker's office and the Senate President's office, because part of what we do when we're reviewing bills is trying to think of unintended consequences. I don't think that was intended. And so we can call you later this afternoon to get more information to make sure that we have the right understanding of that issue. But my preliminary answer is I don't think that it would jeopardize any state shared revenues that you get.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right. Final call for questions. Final call for questions going once. Remember, if you'd like to ask a question, you'll press *9 on your phone. And then when recognized, you would state your name and the city you're affiliated with. So we've received a question via the chat line that was essentially, all right, so the league is asking for feedback on all these issues. Who should I send it to? Please send it to Mary Edenfield. At her email address is medenfield, EDENFIELD, at flcities.com. medenfield at flcities.com. We have a late entrance into the question game, so fire away.
Yes, this is Lynn Ladner with the town of Ocean Ridge. On the Senate and House bills on building permits, and they're re-upping every 3 years when the new Florida building code is adopted, how will that affect local building code regulations?
Hi, this is Rebecca. It would override any other time frames that you have in your local building code. And it is a preemption or a mandate. I'm not really sure which way you want to characterize it, but if you're doing anything differently in your local code, this is an amendment to the Florida statutes, and it would override that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Seeing no more questions, we appreciate you for tuning in. Please stay close to your devices. Please respond to us with feedback you have on some of these bills, and also make sure that you continue the education process with your legislators on some of these important bills. Thank you all. We will see you back here, same time, same place, next Monday. Have a good week.